Now the crucifixion was over. The Savior's body had been buried. His heartbroken followers were in hiding. The Roman guard had been posted at the tomb. Everything looked hopeless. It was time for the third day to dawn. Just shuffling soldiers' feet as they guarded the grave. One day, 2 days, 3 days had passed. Could it be that Jesus had breathed his last? Could it be that his father had forsaken him, turned his back on his son, despising our sin? All hell seemed to whisper, just forget him, he's dead. And the father looked down to his son and said, arise, my love, arise, my love, the grave no longer has a hold on you, no more death sting, no more suffering, arise,
riding wings of wind. awesome, awesome. We're spoiled here, y'all. We are spoiled. It is Resurrection Sunday, and everything about today is special because we're paying special attention to the resurrection of our Lord and King Jesus the Christ. You know, Friday was also a special day. We had a time where we remembered and paid special attention to our Lord and his sacrifice when he took on sin, became sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God. That was a very special time, and I'd encourage you to ask somebody who was here about it, because it was an intimate memorial service. That's what it was. It was a very intimate memorial service. So anyways, just getting started with today and remembering with great joy the victory we have in the Lord Jesus, we're going to start it off with some announcements, okay? And then we're going to get to do some worship, and then after that we'll have a special, and Pastor Thaddeus is going to come and he's going to share what God's put on his heart. So let's just pray. I want to move these quickly. Father God, you are awesome. We use so much hyperbole in our speech today. It really has robbed us of words to use to really appreciate who you are. So, Lord, you're beyond great. You are the best. We have an idea of who you are because of creation and an intimate understanding of who you are because of your Son, the Lord Jesus. We have an intimate knowledge of your love for us demonstrated in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have just a hint of what is to come as we experience your life and the liberty that has been given to us by your grace through faith to those who believe. Our hope, which grows day by day in this promise that we will be raised in the likeness of your Son to be with you forever and ever. So, Lord, as we go through announcements even today and we consider your business, your ministry, give us open hearts and prepare us to worship you with our lips, to recognize who you are, to receive your urging from your word through your servant Thaddeus, our pastor and shepherd, who is an under-shepherd of the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Okay, so getting started here, Easter breakfast. That was some good food, wasn't it? Oh, no, it was. A lot of people didn't like it, I guess. That was some good food, wasn't it? Yes, that's right. Some people still chewing, I guess. That's okay. Thank you to Caleb, Tammy, Ray Berry, and kitchen volunteers. There were a lot of people involved, just to name a few there, for the delicious breakfast they served this morning. The members took a vote, and they would like you to do this every Sunday morning. So that's right. Praise God. It's been voted, and it cannot be taken back, right? No. So there's a whole bunch of thank yous there. Whatever language you'd prefer. I wouldn't dare start speaking in tongues up here without somebody to interpret, okay? So, just a little 1 Corinthians 14 joke for the people. All right. Easter egg hunt. Thank you to everyone who supplied candy, stuffed eggs, set up and cleaned up after our Easter egg hunt yesterday. A special thank you to Krista Asher and Chad Kilburn for planning and executing this program. We could not have done it without your leadership. Yep, that's right. And a special thank you to the handful of people I saw with, like, chapped fingertips, right, from stuffing, oh, it was 10,000 eggs. So that's pretty amazing, okay? All right. Deacons meeting, okay, Wednesday, April 24th at 7:30 p.m. The next business meeting will be April 28th following the morning service. The Singing Crusaders of West Michigan are going to be coming on the 28th at 4 p.m., so I'd encourage you to look at the information that's available there. And then also Rickman House Servant Evangelism Project, 12th Street, will be serving dinner to the Rickman House residents on May 3rd at 6 p.m., and they're looking for volunteers, a great opportunity for families to serve and or donate dinner items. You'll find a list of dinner items needed, so sign up to volunteer or to donate in the Welcome Center in the back, okay? All right, there's more information there. The LIC Mother, Daughter, and Friends team, May 4th at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., ladies' tables have been set. Please check the sign-up sheet to confirm the table you are at. Also, please remember to bring a dish to pass, and then a reference there to men helping with setting up and tearing down. And we get a chance to hang out with each other. I think that'll be a good time of fellowship. Also, annual adult VBS is coming May 15th, 16th, and 17th from 11:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Wednesday speaker will be myself. The lunch menu, egg salad, sandwich, chicken, cordon, blue soup. Chicken cordon, blue soup. I think I saw one phrase there. You can tell I'm a master chef, okay? Veggies with dip and cake. All right. So don't forget to dip your cake, apparently. No. All right, let's see here. The Thursday speaker will be Pastor Thaddeus, and there's the lunch menu there. Friday speaker will be Pastor Tom Stout. I look forward to hearing that. So, murder mystery dinner. Okay, this is pretty significant. The proceeds from the murder mystery dinner go towards funding the teen missions trip. Okay, so if you have time, opportunity, and resources, I encourage you to sign up for this murder mystery dinner. And that's going to be on May 11th at 6 p.m., and the ticket price is $25 or $40 per adult. Okay, so you can stop by the youth table to get your tickets to RSVP, and we encourage you don't miss out on it, all right? Let's see here. More information. VBS coming up July 7th through 11th. We have opportunities for volunteering there. Okay, so please see Sister Angie Layton. And then the youth mission trip, of course, that'll be coming up on July 14th through July 20th. And just a notice there, that mission trip money that's going to be going towards funding that is due today. So if you haven't given that or presented that, it's important that you do that today, okay? All right. Young adult group is not going to be meeting tonight, okay? So just know that it's been canceled, and you'll be resuming next week. Pickleball, very important, right? Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. So you can't hoop it up, understand? Can't swing that bat, that's all right. But you can make it out for pickleball. I know you can, all right? Good. Good fellowship there. Every Thursday, 6:30 p.m., batter up. Men's softball, if you're interested, sign up. Men's basketball, we're going to be concluding that last day will be the 31st of April, okay? And men's prayer breakfast and those things we're familiar with. We've seen that on a regular basis. So, also, next week we're going to be having a baptism, okay, for a dear friend of ours. And we're encouraging others, if you have not been baptized and you have professed to know Christ, then we'd encourage you strongly to consider being baptized and giving a public proclamation, confession of where your hope lies, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'd encourage you, get in touch with Pastor Thaddeus and let him know that you have an interest there and at least be willing to talk about it, even if you may not be ready to be baptized this Sunday, okay? So be ready for some baptisms on Sunday of next week. Okay, anything else I'm missing? All right. We're going to go ahead and pray, and this is my challenge to you. We got a lot of new faces in here. I know of some visitors that we have So I just want to encourage you again today, be on the lookout. Go and say hi to somebody that you do not recognize. I know some people have been doing that. Thank you so much for doing that, stepping outside your comfort zone. But that is life-changing type stuff, okay? So there are many people here who here for the first time today, and I'm encouraging you to extend a warm and welcoming welcome as a child of God to those who are visiting us, okay? So I encourage you to do that. We're going to pray and show them some love, all right? Father God, thank you so much for an opportunity to get together as people with freedom, without hindrance, without persecution, to worship your name. Thank you for making us children by the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus. That those who have believed on him have been given power to be called sons. So, Lord, I just pray over this sermon today. Pray over the hearts that are going to hear the sermon today, that we would be soft and receptive to your truth, not hearers only, but ready to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, show somebody you love them. Go meet somebody, please. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to ask you to find your seats. Don't mean to cut this time short, but if you could find your spots and if you could remain standing when you get there. This morning as we sing, we're going to start with a song called In Christ Alone. And this song, it takes us through the life of Jesus, and it concludes with his resurrection, which is what today's all about. And then we're going to go from there into a song, Christ is Risen. And as we sing that, just know that there's great power in the resurrection. It has an effect on our lives. And that song speaks to that. And then the third song we're going to sing is a song that speaks of the duration of the reign of Jesus. See, because he's risen, someday he will return to this earth. And his reign, his kingdom, is forever. And so there's a progression in the singing that it's the life of Jesus into his resurrection. His resurrection, its effect on us. And then the eternity, forever, he is king. And so let's lift up our voices together as we sing to our wonderful Lord and risen Savior.
Alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest rout and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ.
Us by his own power. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Let no one caught in sin remain inside the lie of inward shame. We fix our eyes upon the cross and run to him who showed great love and bled. You bow to none but heaven.
this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation it says, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.
Thank you.
sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you for forgiveness and mercy. Lord, we just pray that as we've lifted your name high this morning and worshiped you, Father, we just pray our hearts are prepared for the message you have for us. And Father, we just pray you pour out your spirit on our pastor this morning and just bring us the word that you'd have us to hear. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will the ushers come forward, please?
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, we love you, we glorify you each and every day. We thank you that you died on a cross so that we can be forgiven and that we can give back a portion that you gave us. In your name we pray, amen.
Exiled from your presence, lost and all alone, wandering in the darkness, no place to call our home. Then love began its journey from a manger to a cross, committed to redeem us, regardless of the cost. Now through the torn curtain we enter by your grace into your holy presence, into your holy place. No veil to keep you hidden, no Lamb is sacrificed. Righteousness, our Savior Jesus Christ. In blood-washed robes we gather, in garments of your praise.
priesthood of believers, protected by your hand, a royal holy nation, in victory we stand.
Dismiss our children to Children's Church, and as they're heading out, let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. Two brothers were getting ready to boil some eggs to color for to make some Easter eggs, and the older brother said, "I'll give you $1 if you let me break three of these on your head." The younger brother said, "Promise?" The older brother said, "Sure." So the younger brother braced himself as the first egg was cracked on his head, and then the second, and he could feel the goo start coming down his head, and he was ready for the third, and it didn't happen. And he said, "Aren't you going to break three?" And the older brother said, "No, that would cost me $1. As we discussed this morning the resurrection, we need to remember something important about the events that are chronicled for us in Scripture. We have several accounts given to us, and they take place over a 40-day period. So it's not all within the first 12 or 24 or even 48 hours that Jesus resurrected from the grave. There's 40 days worth of appearances that Jesus makes before he ascends up into heaven, and then the disciples wait for 10 more days for Pentecost. They had to wait a total of 50 days from the time that he rose again. And so we just need to keep that in the back of our minds as we go through the Scripture accounts this morning. In the 1800s, there were no telegrams or telephones, but everyone knew that the British general Wellington was facing Napoleon in a great battle, and that the future of England was in great uncertainty. A ship signaled with coded flags the news to a signalman on top of Winchester Cathedral. He signaled to another man on a hill the news of the battle, and that was relayed to another station and then another until it reached London, and then all England knew how the war was going. The signalman on the ship signaled the first word, Wellington. The next word, was defeated. And then the fog set in. And when the fog set in, the people only received a message, Wellington defeated. All of London went silent, and sorrow filled the land. But then the fog lifted, and they got the third word, the. And then the fourth word, enemy. Wellington defeated the enemy. And when the fog lifted, London rejoiced. Napoleon had been beaten. Now for us, Good Friday was that day. We remember the fog setting in. And as we read through this passage, let's think about where the disciples were. Before they saw him, the last they had known was defeat. And the fog of the circumstance of their life clouded the complete message of victory. So read with me here, Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, so that means Saturday, the seventh day of the week, ended, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. That's anoint Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Now here's what we need to understand. A group of ladies met at the tomb. In John, it gives us a little bit more full picture. In John chapter 20, in verse 1, it says, the first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark. So the other ladies get there at the rising of the sun, but Mary Magdalene was there earlier than the rest of them while it was yet dark. And she sees the stone taken away from the sepulcher. And she runs and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and says to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher and we don't know where they have laid him. So she didn't get a chance to talk to the angel yet. She got there earlier. She ran and tells Peter and John and she comes back to the tomb. Now let's keep reading in Mark chapter 16 and verse 3. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. It was a big stone. They couldn't move it themselves. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were afraid. And he says to them, be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. What were they told to do? Go tell the disciples. And what did they do? They ran and they didn't tell anybody. Verse 9 in Mark 16. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, that's Sunday, that's why we meet on Sundays, by the way, because every Sunday we remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And that's why we meet on the first day of the week, Sunday. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. So she runs, and in John chapter 20, we see that when she tells Peter and John, they run to the sepulcher. Peter starts, he starts running first, but John beats him there. John gets there, and he doesn't run in. He's not impulsive. He stops at the tomb. Peter runs in, and he sees the tomb empty, and he's just wondering, what's going on here? When you read it in John chapter 20, it doesn't seem like he's grasping the resurrection at that point. So he goes back to join the disciples, but he's thinking about things. In Mark 16, 11. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. So when Mary got to the rest of the disciples and she told them, Jesus is alive, because she saw him in the garden. She was hanging around while the other ladies left and they didn't tell anybody. She was kind of hanging around. She was going to get to the bottom of this. She wanted to find his body. And as she's walking around, she runs into who she thinks is the gardener. Now, there's two reasons that she didn't recognize him. Reason number one, and we're going to see this in a few verses, Jesus, after his resurrection, when he appeared to people, he didn't appear in his normal, regular-looking form. He had another form that he appeared in. The second reason is, the scripture says, he was beaten so badly, he was not recognizable. Think about his cheekbones being displaced and fractured and broken. Or not, they weren't fractured because he didn't break any bones there. But think about them being swollen and puffed up and disfigured. Think about his eyes and his nose. Think about his entire look. His beard had been pulled out. I mean, just when someone shaves sometimes, we can't recognize him, right? He looked completely different. But all Jesus had to say is Mary, and she knew that it was him. So now that she's seen him, she goes back to the other disciples and she says, he's alive! I saw him! But do the disciples believe? No, they don't believe. Hadn't he told them just 2 days before the Passover? I will die. I will go into Jerusalem. I will be crucified. I will be buried. And I will rise again. You know what they heard? Blah, 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 blah. I will be king. Because they start arguing with each other who's going to be the greatest. In Mark 16, verse 12. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. That's in Luke chapter 24. In verses 13 through 35, Jesus meets two of the disciples. One of his name is Cleopas. And then there's another one the scripture doesn't give us his name. And Jesus walks with them and talks with them. And they're wondering, well, Jesus said he would be buried and that he'd rise again, but we don't get what's happening. He's dead and we don't know what's happening. And so Jesus, he starts with Moses and the prophets and he explains to them the scriptures. And then when they get to their destination, they stop and they eat, and then after they get done eating, Jesus breaks bread, and they're like, oh my goodness, he just broke bread. We've seen this before. It's Jesus. And he leaves them. He's gone. And they say, oh, how our heart did burn within us. I am so shocked that like Tums or some antacid medicine hasn't like grabbed onto that and done a commercial at Easter time. How our heart burned within us. But so Jesus now has appeared to Mary Magdalene. He's appeared to two disciples on the road. Then in Mark 16, verse 13, these two went and told it unto the rest, the residue. Neither believed they them. This is the third eyewitness of Jesus' resurrection that come to the disciples and says, Jesus is risen from the dead. Now, Peter should have believed because he went and saw the empty tomb. But he's not trusting right now. John should have believed. When they hear it, they're like, yeah, hold your horses here. Something else is going on. We don't know what it is. But he's dead. We saw him die. Now, before any of us think, oh, if I would have been there, the whole world would have known his resurrection. No. We would have been just like the rest of them. So now look with me at verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. So after the witness of Mary Magdalene, after the witness of the two, now Jesus appears to the 11 and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. What does that mean? He chewed them out. What could have been a wonderful reunion started with, where is you guys' faith? Where are your heads? I'll tell you what happened. The fog of circumstance clouded the message of victory. Verse 16, Matthew 16:14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So now we're faced with a decision today. His resurrection is received with one of two different responses. Either we have unbelief. Now, let's talk about unbelief for a moment. Unbelief can take form in two ways. First, for someone who has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Here's what unbelief means to you. It means that you have not surrendered to the Lord King Jesus, who was risen from the dead. It means that your life, your heart, have not been surrendered to him for forgiveness of sin and for newness of life. See, there are two things that take place when, well, there's a lot more, but two big things that take place when Jesus saves you. Number one, he forgives you for your sin. If you're here this morning and you think, well, I've got some really bad sins. You think it's anything Jesus hasn't seen? You think someone sinned worse than you? Oh, there's always someone who sinned worse than you. And you go, no, you don't know me. Okay, if that's the case, if you are the world's worst sinner, Jesus Christ died so you don't have to die for your sin. And he did not stay dead, because he wants you to live forever with him. He brings everlasting life to you. Eternal life is his gift that he will grant you. He gives forgiveness, full forgiveness. The second thing he gives you in salvation is newness of life. If anyone is in Christ, you become a new creature. Not like, you know, oh, good, I want wings, I want to fly. Not that kind of creature, okay? We're talking about a new creation. Before we trust Christ, our sinful self is the predominant figure in our life. When Christ saves us, our sinful self is put to the side and the Spirit of God indwells us. And the Spirit of God enables us to do right. For the first time in your life, you can please God with your life. Newness of life. So that's the first kind of unbelief, is someone who has not received forgiveness of sin and newness of life. The second kind of unbelief is for the believer. Sounds weird, right? Well, the disciples, do you think they believed in Jesus? Yes, they walked with him, they talked with him, he fed them. He healed people all around them. He gave them power to heal people. He gave them power to cast out devils. I mean, they knew and they believed in Jesus. They believed he would have an eternal kingdom. But somehow, when the fog settled in their life, they lost sight of what they believed in. And is that you today? The fog has settled in your life, and you have lost sight of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. You think, oh, the situation I'm in, it's too great. I can't handle this. It's too much. I've gone too far. And Jesus says, no, no, no. My resurrection is enough. It's power in the resurrection. Power for you, not just to have this newness of life, but now to live it out every day. It doesn't mean that things are going to be easy. It doesn't mean that things are going to be good. But we get caught up in this unbelief, just like the disciples did. So when your car breaks down, is he alive or is he not alive? Anybody get mad at God when your car breaks down? Nobody will admit it. So this is just a few weeks ago. Well, in December, we were driving one of our cars, and a deer jumped in between. One car was following the other, and killed the deer, destroyed the front of the car. So we were getting it fixed, and it cost us $1,500. We get it back, and it looks like new. It's like, all right, this is good. And the night we got it back, it was a Wednesday night, and I will not forget, because I was up here teaching from Philippians chapter 4, and that we are supposed to rejoice in everything. Rejoice in everything. And I'm driving home from Bible study, and Rachel calls me. She had been at a concert for Jenna was singing that night. And Rachel calls me and says, 3 days we had the car. Three. Just hit a deer in the same spot. You know the first thing that runs through my mind? Oh, you just taught on rejoice in everything. Now, do I believe in the power of the resurrection or do I not? You know what? It's just a car. It's still running. We just got the dents banged out of it and a new headlight put on. I was not going to get it all fixed up again. But you know what? The power of the resurrection is still at work, even though the circumstance wasn't what I wanted. How about this? Because we've heard a lot of this recently. How about when the doctor gives you bad news? How about when the doctor pulls out the cancer word? What do you do then? Is Jesus still alive or is he not? How about when your loved one passes? Is Jesus alive or is he not? And you say, wait a minute, I prayed for healing and he didn't give me what I wanted. And that's when we realize he is the one who rose. He is the one. You know what? Sometimes death is so much better than life. Because if we believe in the resurrection, then we know that Jesus receives them unto himself who believe. And so if they pass from this death, from this life, they pass into life with him. Do you still believe in the power of the resurrection? How about when your family's mad at you? None of us have ever experienced that. So we're like, do you still believe in the power of the resurrection? You know what we do? We get upset with God. We grow distant from him. When he's the one we need to cling to. When he's the power that we need to help us. And so when we face that difficulty with family, what we should do is cling to the power of the resurrection. Because if he could raise Jesus from the dead, he can help me with my relationships with my family. How about when somebody lets you down? We have all been let down by somebody. And we have all let somebody else down. Does that in any way diminish the power of the resurrection of Jesus in us? No way. But somehow we as believers show unbelief in the power of God. Just like the disciples did. I mean, we could go through a list of a million things, couldn't we? So, unbelief is the first response to the resurrection of Jesus. But how about belief? How about belief? See, we either believe or we don't believe. Don't let the fog of circumstances obscure your view of the total message. So, I want to invite you with me to the empty tomb. Because until we stand and see the empty tomb. Now, I've been to the tomb in Jerusalem. Okay, they have two sites that they say is the empty tomb. Okay? One, no way. The other one, wow. The Bible says that when they went in, they looked to the right. When you go into this tomb, guess which direction the slab, the bench for the dead body? It's to your right. And when you walk in there, and it's a garden. Garden area. It's just over the hill from where the place of the skull, Golgotha, is. And I tell you what, when I walked into that tomb, you see the track there for where the stone, where they could have rolled a stone. There's no stone there. Somebody has taken. It's gone now. But when you step in and you look to the right, there's an empty bench. A forever memorial that Jesus has risen from the dead. He is not buried underneath your difficult circumstance. He is not behind the stone of other people's failures in your life. He is risen and he is king. So a little bit later, we don't know how many days, Jesus appears to Peter. Peter went back fishing. I mean, Jesus appeared to him, and then Peter goes fishing. So Jesus, he meets with them. He's like, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. And Peter never went fishing again. That was it. He learned. But then in Luke 24, I'm going to close with this thought here. This is describing for us some period of time through the 40th day when he ascended into heaven. And this is a parallel to what the Bible says in Acts chapter 1. It says, then Jesus opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's why we're here today on Easter Sunday morning, is so that the scriptures can be opened for you so that you can understand the power of the resurrection. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry or stay here in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted for them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Amen. So what do we do with this message? We do what the disciples did. We go into our cities. We go into our homes. We go into our workplaces, and we proclaim Jesus crucified and risen. And we go and we tell people that there is hope in this life, that we have a God who is able to take the dead and make them alive. And he promises that all who believe in him will pass from death unto life. And so we take this message and we don't just talk about it. We live it. And when we live it with great joy. We are excited about it. The resurrection of Jesus is not something that we sit around and cry about. Oh, Jesus rose from the dead. Now I got to do good. Oh. No, it's something that we rejoice just like the disciples did. You know, this last week, it was really sad to see the building, Notre Dame in France, burn. Not sad for religious reasons. Who cares? That means nothing. It was sad that a beautiful old historic building burned. But I want to encourage you with something. A church did not burn that day. The church cannot burn. Jesus said that the gates of hell cannot prevail against his church. Because right now, as we're gathered here together in Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ, what this is church. It's assembly. When you go home and you're by yourself, you're not church. You're part of the body, but you're at home. You're not church. When we're all together here, you know what we are? We are church. We are assembly. This is awesome. The disciples went back into the towns and they began to preach Jesus Christ. And as they preached him, they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. And what they did is they encouraged other people to meet with them. And then they started meeting house to house. So they met in the courts of the temple, and they met house to house. And what happened is the church was established and the church was alive because the church was people who believed, getting together in that belief to rejoice a resurrected Savior. And so as we're here together today, we are here to rejoice in a resurrected Savior together. The joy that comes with resurrection should never be stolen by circumstance. And so today, let the fog be lifted. Jesus is not dead. He is alive. Belief in the resurrection is the avenue through which we comprehend the totality of victory. So let me just read these verses again to you. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 57 says, so when this corruptible, this broken body, shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you so much for the power of the resurrection. Lord, what we are facing in our lives, I don't want to in any way say that it's not hard, it's not difficult, but Lord, it is not going to ever overshadow the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, help us to not respond in unbelief. I thank you that the end of the story was not they did not believe. I thank you that the end of the story with the disciples is they believed and they went out and they helped in the formation of assembly, of church. And all the world has been changed because they preached the power of the resurrection. God, help us today. I pray if there's anyone here right now who has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, that right now, on the greatest of days to do so, they would call out and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. I believe that you paid the penalty for my sin so I don't have to be punished for my sin. Lord Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my master. I surrender to you today. Lord, if anyone will believe that in their heart and confess that with their mouth, then Lord, right now, you will save them. And they will receive forgiveness and newness of life. And Lord, I pray for those who have already trusted you, but they've been living in unbelief. This morning, Lord, bring them back to their faith. Restore to them the power of the resurrection in their life. Help them to know what it's like to walk in the faith of Jesus Christ under the power of his resurrection. And I thank you, Lord, that as we close this service, we can sing and say, death is arrested. We have a new life that has begun. So, Lord, bless the closing of the service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I invite you to stand. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe you just did while I was praying, I'm going to be standing at the front. Would love for you to come and to tell me that you trusted Christ. Or if you haven't and you want to, come and tell me that. And we will connect you with someone who can help you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've been living in defeat, you know you're saved, but the power has been fogged. This morning, come and ask God to clear the way, because that's what he wants for you. And let's all together, as we sing this song, let's rejoice in the fact that death has been arrested. My new life has begun.
Sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given again. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. Release from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began, oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross,
darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your
Savior, our conqueror of sin, our dispatcher of death, our destroyer of all power that stands against us, to you, the Lamb who was slain, the King who has risen, be all glory, honor, and power, both now and forever. And your whole church says, Amen. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen.
Praise Jesus.